We're back, the Neil Haley Show, in the Total Celebrity segment. And this is history in so many ways, because I always think of Robert Carradine. And when I think of him, I think of him in Revenge of the Nerds, but never about the Westerns and the Carradine name. And my other guest had Robert in a film. He's a director and a producer, but the story goes on and on about different things. So I'm excited to welcome to the program Robert Carradine and Richard Gabay. Guys, thanks for calling, and how are you?
Oh, good, Neil. Thanks for having us on, man. Oh.
Hey, Neil. And, you know, Neil, I got to tell you, my first image of Robert Carradine was actually in a Western. I think it was like 1972 when I just moved to California, went to the Edwards Cinema in Costa Mesa, and my brother and I went to see a great Western called The Cowboys that starred John Wayne and Robert Carradine.
So, like, let's go to this. Robert, everyone thinks of you in Revenge of the Nerds, but the truth is you started out in Westerns, right? Especially because of the Carradine name, right?
Well, I don't think the Carradine name hurt me. And my first film in my life was with John Wayne in The Cowboys.
Wow.
John Wayne and Roscoe Lee Brown.
And that's got to be amazing to work with John Wayne in your first film.
Yeah, it was my first film. I'd been on location about a week, and I tried to tell Mr. Wayne that he should change the dialogue in the scene that we were doing. And this seemed like a good idea at the time, but what a 17-year-old kid is doing on his very first movie set, telling John Wayne how to do a scene, I don't know. But I did it.
And rumor has it that John Wayne had quite a response to young Mr. Carradine. What was that, Bobby?
Well, basically, blankety blank blank blank, you're a bigger blank than your old man ever was, et cetera.
Oh, my. So, Robert, you get a really that starts out first time. Did you have that kind of bravado as a 17-year-old coming in and deciding that you're going to talk to the legend John Wayne like that?
I guess so. You know, I just, having no idea what the hierarchy is on a motion picture set, it just seemed like a good idea to tell him that he was screwing up his line.
Wow. And Richard, when you heard that story, you probably fell on the floor, because you've been involved in Westerns for years as well, right? To know that after his first film to do something like that.
Well, I think it's the kind of thing you can only maybe do or get away with on your first film. I think it. I thought it was just a hilarious story, and being friends with Bobby all these many years, I could completely see him doing it from a complete place of just purity and friendship, and, like, you know, not knowing how show business really works. I mean, I had a similar situation early in my career where a really famous producer had me read a script when I was like 22 years old, and I went back to him and I said, you know, I don't think this script is very good, and he was like, what? This famous director is going to direct it, and these two huge stars are going to star in it. And then 6 months later, he invited me to the screening, and it was the worst film anybody had ever seen. And that very same producer said, Richard, what's wrong with this film? And by then I had learned, you don't say, remember I told you the script was bad. So I kind of think that was a similar experience for Bobby. He was just seeing something in a scene that he didn't think was right, and he kind of told the guy.
Yeah, that's all.
Well, that kind of reminds me of my days in pro wrestling, when I kind of gave advice to specific veterans in the business, and then I ended up taking pretty much heat. You at least got yelled at. I got hurt in the ring, where they had to shoot on me because I made mistakes by saying certain things to wrestlers in the back and then get them in the ring. So it's a little different story, but it's kind of also the kind of thing that you really get your ego you're set in check now after that, Robert. Okay, I'm not going to do that again.
No, but I'm still emotionally scarred, if you know what I mean.
I understand.
But here's the best part of the whole story. He took my suggestion.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Now, so, Robert, kind of let's talk about growing up with your father. And so you were involved. Were you on the set at a really young age with Westerns?
Only a couple of times. I visited him out in the western part of the San Fernando Valley in a movie ranch called Corriganville. And I visited him on the set of The Patsy, with Jerry Lewis and Peter Lorre. And that was about it for being on the set with my old man.
Interesting, interesting. And you always wanted to be an actor, Robert?
No, I didn't want to be an actor at all. I wanted to be a racing driver.
Wow. Would you think of, see, I always think of Robert again, Robert Carradine, thinking about the nerd saying a race car driver. So, okay. So that's a picture I wouldn't have thought of. Richard, tell us the story of meeting Robert the first time.
Well, I think Robert and I was producing, I got to tell you that the real beginning, you know, I'm kind of a hybrid myself, acting and producing, directing and music. And when I first got out of college, I instantly got a Budweiser commercial, and I was kind of making a living. And then I kind of decided I wanted to make my own movie. And so the first movie I made was actually a ripoff of Revenge of the Nerds. I made this movie called Assault of the Party Nerds.
My goodness.
And it, well, you know, it sort of has a cult following, been released a million times. So it was really interesting how then I become friends with Bobby when I kind of started my career by ripping off his movie. So in 2004, I was producing a movie for Fox called Supercross, and Bobby was one of the stars. And I walked onto the bus one day, and he was there playing guitar. And he's pretty good. In fact, he's really good. And he kind of looked at me with that same arrogance he showed John Wayne, and he said, "Not bad for an actor, huh?" And I was like, "Yeah, not bad." So we instantly bonded because we're both guitar players. So first met in 2004. And then several years, we stayed in touch a little bit. And then in 2009, I think, I made a modern day adaptation of Call of the Wild in 3D with Christopher Lloyd and a bunch of other stars.
Oh, wow.
And Bobby came out to the premiere at the Santa Barbara Film Festival because he was living out there at the time. And we reconnected then. And then, of course, when I got the script for Justice, I saw this great opportunity to have Robert in the movie. And also to bring him back to the ranch where he shot the Cowboys with John Wayne, because we actually shot at the same ranch in New Mexico that he shot the Cowboys at.
It's kind of a full circle deal.
Yeah, it's a great story. That's why I wanted Richard on, and Richard has had some really interesting stories as well. I think you two, like, if I had a beer with you guys in L.A., it would be just so many stories of different people you guys brushed elbows with in greatness, and you also attain greatness in certain ways. So it's very, very interesting. Robert, after Revenge of the Nerds, did you want it? Were Westerns calling you? Would you say, or well, yeah?
I would say that Westerns are always calling me. If I have a choice between two movies and one of them is a Western, I will take the Western. Because I love the whole genre. I love Winchester rifles. I love Colt single action revolvers. I love being on the land on a horse. It's a lifestyle that is long gone that I love replicating. Especially on a movie set, because it's just so great. You get to ride the horse, you get to shoot the guns. The food's pretty good, and I really like it. I mean, Westerns, in my opinion, are where it's at.
It definitely seems like it again. And Richard, is that the kind of thought process you have as well? And I think Westerns are making a big comeback for sure as well, Richard, in this time. Don't you agree with...
Yeah, I certainly hope so, and I... You know, making a Western was on my cinematic bucket list. So when I was offered Justice, I didn't even worry about what the deal was or anything. I just jumped on it. And when I was, you know, my father kind of inspired me to want to make movies and to love art and music. And, you know, and it was musicals, Westerns, and Universal horror films. So I jumped at the chance to make a Western, and I can't wait to make another one.
Well, that's great. You found that passion, and you keep got to raise the money, right, Richard? It's not that simple. It's saying,
yeah,
okay.
The thing that's really difficult about it is that the Westerns don't do well overseas. There's only a couple of little sales, so it's strictly a U.S. commodity. So that makes it difficult. I mean, we got lucky on Justice. I mean, I wasn't a producer on Justice. I was hired to direct the film, and I ended up producing the poster or whatever, but, you know, I didn't raise the money. So, I mean, fortunately, we were picked up by Universal, and the film has done really well. So, you know, That doesn't happen all the time. And then if we want to make a Western that we know will monetize, the budget has to be a little bit too low to pique my interest at this point. But if I was going to do something with no money, it would probably be a Western would probably be the winner, because I can't wait to do that again.
Interesting. Now, Robert, the kind of thinking after your first film is with John Wayne, and then you get the audition for Revenge of the Nerds. That's got to be where you, that's a really different role for sure. And was it something that when you first heard it said, oh, really, this is not going to do well? Did you think it was going to get the cult following and it did?
Well, first of all, Revenge of the Nerds is 1984. The Cowboys is 1972. So that's 12 years of the Big Red One, the Long Riders, the Hatfields and the McCoys, Blackout, all these other movies came along. And then when Revenge of the Nerds first showed up, I just flat out was not interested, because I wasn't going to be in a movie called Revenge of the Nerds. I mean, my thinking was, Mel Gibson wouldn't do it, I'm not doing it. But my agent said, look, you got to go in and have a meeting, because this is a studio film. And, you know, just go forward with it. Go forward. So I went in and I met the director. We didn't really get along. I had long hair. I was wearing my cowboy boots and my jeans. I mean, I was the polar opposite of a nerd. I think I went to the audition on my motorcycle.
Oh, my goodness. I wouldn't have thought that.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was it. And then I had a callback. I thought, okay, if I have a callback, I can't leave any stone unturned. So I went out and I cut all my hair off with a regular boy's haircut. And I went to an optometrist in Sherman Oaks looking for a pair of glasses that looked nerdy. And the optometrist comes out. He says, can I help you? I said, not at these prices. Because every frame he had was $300. And he said, well, what are you looking for? I said, well, I need something, you know, that looks nerdy. He says, oh, I got just the thing. And he went in the back in his office and he pulled out a shoebox covered with probably 20 years of dust. And he reached in and pulled out some of those glasses that you see in the 60s movies of the engineers. I said, those are perfect. So I got the glasses for $60. I went on the audition. And when the casting lady came out to call me into the meeting, she looked right at me and went back in her office. She did that two or three times. And finally I said, hey, what's going on? I'm here for an audition. And she looked at me and she said, oh, my God, Robert? And I said, yeah. She said, oh, my, you look different. I didn't recognize you. Come on in. And that was sort of how I got the part.
So you, once it did so successful at the box office, then you're somebody who loves Westerns, loves doing films like this, and you'd never thought this kind of thing. So did you really try to stop yourself from being typecasted right after the success of the films?
Well, it just kind of turned out that way. I did a film based on the Broadway play called As Is, which is the story of a young man dying of AIDS and coming to grips with it and how people in his life are treating him now that he has that horrid disease. Then I also did kind of a buddy picture that I think was loosely based on Lethal Weapon. Okay. It was me and Billy Dee Williams. It was called Number One with a Bullet.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that was definitely not nerdy.
All right. So, Richard, so this is the surprise. Now, I would have never thought this till I heard about this. Again, you're going to introduce and honor Robert at the 21st Annual Spur Awards. Now, explain that to us and understand why he's going to be awarded there with a Lifetime Achievement Award. What? Give me, I guess, not just his experience with the Duke and all that stuff. What gives him that in that genre to say, hey, he definitely needs to be honored? Explain that to us, Richard.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. If I didn't know you're friendly, you might be glad you're farther away from arm's length. Of course, he deserves this award. I mean, his first movie was with the Duke, and as he said, he did the Long Riders, did the Hatfields and McCoys, he did my Western, and he just recently did another Western. So he's been starring in Westerns for his entire career. So. I think it's, he's as honored to be getting the award as they are honored to be able to have him there to accept it.
Wow. So I'm not saying anything. I'm just, again, learning that I know Mez again, Revenge of the Nerds. So that's what I'm just bringing up. Guys, yeah, if I was sitting right next to you at a television interview.
Between the Cowboys and Revenge of the Nerds, like, you know, Bobby mentioned, he starred in the Big Red one. And that was with
Lee Marvin,
directed by Sam Fuller.
Yep.
I mean, the guys, and for me growing up, is Bobby's got a couple of years on me. I went to see the Big Red one in theaters. I went to see the Cowboys in theaters. To me, you know, Revenge of the Nerds was just another one of the movies he did. And and that's why, you know, when I put him in my Western, and I did a TV movie for Lifetime last year with Annika McKellar and Jim O'Hare and Jonathan Bennett. And there was a role of a judge. And I said, hey, Bobby, you want to come play a judge? Absolutely. And, you know, all the executives at Lifetime, they didn't think of it. They didn't even know Revenge of the Nerds because they're all younger. They recognized him as the father on Lizzie McGuire. He had a whole other TV series on Disney for years. So, you know, if Disney wants to give him an award for being the dad on Lizzie McGuire, I'd go present that one, too, if he asked me. So I don't know. I don't have that same perception.
And that's fine. And I guess I love the 80s, Robert. Don't kill me for that reason. But guys, I could have asked that if I was arm's length, just because I'm 6'10", used to be over 300 pounds, about 260 now. So I'm a pretty big guy. So I can, but knowing Robert after the story with the Duke, I guess what? I think he would look at me in the eye and say, what are you saying, Neil? I just wanted to kind of get Richard, because you're good friends with him, about Robert and why he deserves this award. Because again, a lot of people don't know all of the movies you've been in, especially, I'm telling you, there's a specific core audience that remembers him in Revenge of the Nerds. And that's the thing, for sure, Robert.
Of course, yeah. I totally know what you mean. I find it really funny that you actually needed to describe your stature to defend yourself. I was kidding, dude. And by the way, I've been a ring announcer in professional wrestling for fun. I don't know if you ever were familiar with Fred Olin Ray's wrestling league. I even was in there with him, with Abdul the Butcher and a lot of the old classics.
Oh, really? Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. But anyway, I just don't think that there's any question that, as far as guys that are still with us that have been in classic Westerns and are known for Westerns, Bobby's definitely one of them. And I have a similar thing since I started in B comedies like Assault of the Party Nerds and Virgin High and Dinosaur Island and Bikini Drive-In. You know, people hear that I'm, you know, directing a Western, and they sometimes would write a similar thing because they know me from these B movies. Hey, this is a guy that starred in the Roger Corman movie Dinosaur Island. Now he's making a Western. What does he know about Westerns? But at the end of the day, you know, filmmaking and acting, it's a craft and a trade. And those of us that are blessed enough to know how to do it and make a living at it, we can work on Westerns and we can work on 80s comedies. And believe me, I'm the subject of the same thing. Don't get me wrong. I love Revenge of the Nerds, a movie they'd never be able to make today, by the way, because of the humor.
Yeah, it was pretty saucy. You know, I'm trying to find this Western that I did for a mutual friend of Richard's and mine, a director named Steve Boyum. And I'm going to look it up here because it was a really cool part. Just a second. I'll find it here in a second.
No worries.
In the meantime, what else is on your mind?
I want to go back to Robert. See, so I love having a conversation, and especially Robert now with the wrestling. We're friends on Facebook, and hey, now you'll have to find out. But just to go with the story really quick, Robert, about wrestling till he comes. I mean, Richard, till Robert comes back to us. I beat Jerry the King Lawler. So you know who the king is, and wrestled with the Headbangers down south, and The Rock wore my knee pads. So I have an interesting story down south before he made it. So I've brushed with greatness as well before going back, becoming a teacher, then going back into entertainment and entrepreneurship. So I have stories and who I've met in my time. So that's why I love interviewing guys, and I love to tell a story, because we hear too much where it's just the stuff that you guys already know. I like to talk about things that not many people know about. And that's what makes it entertaining. So people say, okay, I'm going to tune in and listen to this whole story. And Richard, you make the story with Robert, because of your relationship, your friendship, and then by presenting for sure. So on the, and again, there's going to be a lot of amazing people on the 21st in September. Isn't that correct, Richard?
Yeah. I mean, it's an amazing bunch of people. Amazing bunch of people are coming just to hang out. And I'm honored to be a part of it. And you're definitely right about me and Bobby being friends, because it's, there's all kinds of interesting things just sort of keep coming up. Like the neighborhood that I live in with my wife and kids, when he came over, he's like, oh, I grew up down the street. Like, I had no idea that he lived in my very same neighborhood. But yeah, the 21st is building up to be a very special night full of a bunch of great stars. And I predict a standing ovation when Bobby comes up to take his award.
Well, your mouth to God's ear. What can I tell you?
And Robert, did you find that, by the way?
Yeah, I did. It was called Time Cop, the Berlin Decision. And what that was kind of a time travel movie. But the part of the movie that I'm in was the Western. And I was playing a real mean bartender with a sawed-off shotgun. It was pretty memorable.
So, my gosh, I would never have thought that. But again, that's what happens. I would have thought, oh, a nerd, and you played all these villains and tough guys. So, Robert, but you had that persona and that bravado at 17. So you had to kind of really act in Revenge of the Nerds. But truly who you are is this mean, tough guy that's not going to take no from it from an answer.
Well, I'm not that tough, but thank you, Neil. and I am a little bit nerdy. I fly remote control model airplanes, and you know, I'm also a ham radio operator.
Okay.
But those aren't things I really tell people about. So we'll just keep it between us
and all my listeners and fans.
Right. No, you and all the listeners.
Now, Richard, last thing, are there other people that you want to let people know about the 21st and where people can find information and can attend this event and stuff? Are there still tickets available and stuff for it, Richard? Or how's it work?
I don't know specifically. And in fact, it was, you know, Bobby invited me to introduce him. So I haven't actually spoken to any of the people at the event yet. Bobby might. There's a website, I believe.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up right now for you, Neil, because I know they have one. I just want to make sure I get it right for you and your listeners.
Oh, well, I
think is it Real Cowboys or something? Or,
well, that's the organization that puts it on.
But there, I know that, you know, the website I saw, there were tickets for sale, and there's a list of amazing people that are going to be there. I think some of the other, you know, Billy Zane and some of the other presenters.
Okay, so it's called realcowboys.org, and real is spelled R-E-E-L. Like a reel of film.
Okay.
And if you go to realcowboys.org, you can find out everything you need to know about the Silver Spur Awards.
Robert, are you active on social media, by the way, like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook?
Let's put it this way. I have a Twitter account. I have a Facebook account, neither of which I use. But I have them. Basically, I text and I use the phone. I'm not much of a social media person.
All right. And what about you, Richard? I think you have to, because of promoting films and stuff, you know, you have to.
Absolutely.
That's part of the game.
So, yeah, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So, you know, everyone, please connect. And one thing I always like to say, and I really appreciate and respect your angle on this, because I like having conversations too. And when other filmmakers or fans write to me, I really try and write back and answer any questions that people have. Also at my website, richardgabai.net, RichardGabai.net. And the best thing is I released an album last year that's streaming on all the services, Apple Music, Spotify, and
all the rest.
I had a band and played up and down the Sunset Strip, even having like about a dozen gigs where the Stone Temple Pilots opened for me, if you can believe that. And I ended up sort of focusing on film and acting instead of music, but I still love music. And I recorded an album last year in the late, great Glenn Campbell's studio with his brilliant son, Cal Campbell, producing it. So that album, Double Life, is streaming on all the services. So give it a listen.
Also, it's a really good record, Neil.
All right. Well, you guys are a great tandem. I tell you, you got to start doing a bunch of different things together, interview wise, because you each know each other's words. So that's good. So what you're going to say next?
Yeah, good. I mean, maybe we should do a reality show.
Hey, I think that would be perfect, especially for people that don't know what happened to Robert Carradine in that way and telling his story.
What happened to Robert Carradine was he ran into a truck, and then thanks to Richard Gabay, he was reborn in the Western Justice.
All right. That's a great point, guys. But thanks for calling. Best of luck, and good luck on the 21st. And definitely we'll stay in touch, guys. All right.
Thanks, Neil. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Thanks. See you later, guys.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. You'll listen to Neil Haley's show. We'll be back in just a moment.